Good morning. My name's Tom Repke, and I'd like to welcome you to live.lindenroad.church. This is our digital home. I'd like to thank you for coming by, and if this is your first time here, we want to welcome you. You could help us just to get to know you a little bit more. If you would, there's a digital connection card that you could actually click on and just ask you for your name and an email address. We would love to send you just a couple more pieces of information about who we are and how you could be connected. And then you'll also notice along the bottom here, there's a live prayer button. If there's something we can be praying with you for or with and about, we would welcome that. Finally, those of you that have called this your home, this new digital platform, you know, probably already in the chat, so we welcome you to log in. This morning's going to be about a 60-minute time together. We've got the incredible opportunity this morning to host, because of this COVID-19 shelter and home experiences that we're all living through, valleys that we're finding ourselves in right now, fear that's out there, but how do we move into really understanding the valley that God is walking with us through? And we're going to take a little bit of a look at Psalm 23 and just some other things about what valleys are all about as we continue to move into this new normal. I want to talk about this morning the God of the valleys, if you will, and just this idea as we find ourselves right now living in all sorts of unknowns. One of the things I want us to sort of really hang on to is the idea, a simple concept, and Carrie sort of in the song Forever reminded us of just all that we have as sons and daughters of God, and that it's forever, the love that God offers us. And yet, living in the goodness of that sometimes gets complicated, especially as we think about the season we find ourselves in right now. And so one of the scripture verses we always go to in moments of uncertainty is the 23rd Psalm. And let me just read it, the first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, we know so many things about the valleys because that's really where most of us live most of the time, right? We have these amazing experiences, and right now in our homes, I'm sure there's all sorts of new experiences, right? Just the idea of having been sheltering in place together in our homes for these 6 weeks have been a real test on all of us, and just trying to find margins in our lives and ways when the places that we used to have to ourselves are now, if we've got a family, we're having to share those spaces 24/7, literally, when normally we would have our children off to school or we would be off to work. And so all those new adjustments we've had to make. And yet, it's really trusting in the fact that God's word is something that we go back to time and time again. In 1 Kings, the writer says, God said, because the Syrians think that I am only the God of the hills and not that I'm God of the valleys, I'm going to give you victory over this huge army so everyone will know that I am the Lord. You see, it's the valleys in which we walk through that we find where God works most intimately in our lives, right? And as we think about what this new normal is going to look like when we come out of it, and you can see, even as we were trying over this last week with our governor and the director of health walking through just the details of what does this look like. And so we have masks, and now we don't have masks, and now we have masks by employees. And just all that's there is they are so concerned, too, rightfully so, about our economic well-being and realizing that if people are sheltering in home, then they're not working. And if they're not working, they're not producing. And if they're not producing, there isn't cash, and all those things. And so it seems like we're really in a deep valley. And so as we know, even today, with over 1 million people who are unemployed in Ohio, and realizing that even out of those million people, there's still some 300,000 have yet to get their registration with the unemployment offices so they can have monies to just pay bills. The news is filled each night, it seems, with people who are, missing house payments and car payments and struggling to find groceries. Even this morning, a friend of mine in California, who I'm going to introduce you to here in a moment, Adam, sent me a message on Facebook wondering if I knew anybody in Columbus that could help a young man who is a single father with two young daughters who has lost his job and who has no monies and is about to be evicted and has no food. And so you just realize that how small the world is, right? That somebody in California gets a tweet that then reaches out to somebody in Ohio on Facebook who's an hour north. And so I've actually worked through a couple of my channels and sent a couple of emails and not quite sure how it might work out, but just how those things are now common and part of our ongoing life. And yet, here's what we know, and so I just want to unpack a couple things about the valleys that we have to just be part of the truth of what they are. First of all, valleys are part of our life. It's just, this is where we are in so many different ways that we get the mountaintop experiences, whether it's a family holiday or a vacation, just even a good meal with a family friend, how all those things right now have really been tested as we shelter in place. But being reminded that even in the book of Deuteronomy, God says to the Israelites, the promised land you're about to enter in is a land of hills and valleys. And so even this land that the Israelites are going to inherit as they begin the promised land pursuit, God even reminds them there in some simple words. And then the writer of Peter reminds us too, don't be surprised when you're tested by troubles or painful suffering as if something unusual is happening to you. I mean, I think that's the thing that's so amazing about this global pandemic. Again, none of us have been through this. And again, it's such an incredible world-changing perspective when we realize that everyone around the world is leading into the same uncertainty right now. And so with that, we just need to center on the truths of God's word, which we are doing here this morning. And so valleys are a part of our life, but then valleys happen to everyone, right? I mean, that's this idea of this pandemic, especially. The good man does not escape all troubles, the psalmist says. He has them too, but the Lord helps him in each and every one. And so that's really my encouragement to us as a church. I mean, Linden Road has been in the Mansfield community for over 200 years. And I'm sure that what we're experiencing right now, the founders, those original men and women, had no idea that this is the way it was going to be. And so at least this idea of digital and not being in our buildings and wondering when we're coming back to our buildings, all those kinds of things. And so, but the promise that they had is the same promise we have, is that the Lord is going to be there and he's going to walk with us through this. And those of us that call Linden Road home, we've seen that. We've seen that especially, I think, in the last year in just so many different ways. And I would even suggest that those that have called this their spiritual home for decades would say the same thing. They've seen the ebb and flow. But I think as a pastor, it's my responsibility just to call out and remind us and remember that God is a God of provision, and he has done that. So valleys are a part of our life. Valleys happen to everyone. And then valleys are unpredictable. It's interesting, the writer of Proverbs says, don't ever brag about tomorrow since you don't know what that day will bring forth, right? I mean, you think about just where we were 2 months ago and the things that, if we could have gotten into a time machine back then and came forward to now and then gone back, and you know, we would try to have explained to people to your previous self, if you will, the idea that, okay, just so you know, don't really plan on doing anything for Easter. Like, don't get an Easter dress because we're not going anywhere for Easter. I'm not gonna tell you why. Because you won't believe me. Or the idea that every church in the world would have its doors closed for the most part. Or that businesses like our restaurants, our cafes, would be closed. And the reality of those kinds of things. Or the idea that if you're a high school student, you would, and you're graduating this year, that you that you wouldn't finish out your school in the classroom. I mean, just all those kinds of things. So we really need to just center this idea. We need to anticipate tomorrow in one way, but also know that what comes tomorrow is very unpredictable. And so we need to center ourselves in what is today. Now, there's a couple of different kinds of valleys in the Old Testament that the scriptures talk about. And I'll just walk through this really quickly. There's the valley of Siddim. It comes to us out of Genesis 14, which is basically the valley of failure. The valley was full of sticky tar pits, and when they tried to run away from the battle, they slipped and they fell into the pits. There's the valley of Eshcol. That comes out of us out of Numbers chapter 13. In your own eyes, we felt as small as grasshoppers next to them. That's the valley of fear. And then there's the valley of Elah that comes to us out of the story of 1 Samuel. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, and with the valley of Elah between them, that's the valley of conflict. And then the valley of Baca comes to us out of the book of Psalms. Blessed are those whose strength comes from the Lord. As they pass through the valley of Baca, weeping, that they make it a place of springs. And that's the valley of grief and barrenness. Now, what I want us to just think about for a moment is what to remember in a valley. I mean, the things as we walk through these times is to remember what? Well, first of all, to remember that you're not alone. I mean, as we heard there in Psalm 23, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, the writer says. And David says, why? Because you are with me. Or Isaiah says to us, when you go through the deep waters in great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, the prophet says. Or the psalmist says, as for me, God's presence is all I need. I've made the sovereign Lord my shelter. And you think about that in our particular time right now. And I'm particularly sensitive to just how many people who have been sheltering in place and don't have access to technology, who don't have email or web presence, the internet, to be able to connect with people who are outside. And the beauty of how these things can be so useful to connecting us. And even today, it's interesting that there's now a new diagnosis because people are spending so much time on the applications like Zoom that it's actually called Zoom fatigue, where just because of the way our brains are wired, we really can't take a lot of this on a regular basis because it's just hard. It's hard and it's wearisome for our bodies to process. But yeah, we need to be reminded that in this whole thing, we're not alone. And then at the same time, too, and it goes back to something I said last week, and this idea of remembering that God has a good purpose for this valley, that whatever we're pushing through, not quite sure what, and I know there are some who have an opinion that God is causing this, there are some that have an opinion that God's allowing this, but this much we know, it is. And whatever God is using it for, there is a purpose, because as Cody shared earlier in the worship set from Romans 8, there's certain promises there that we're reminded of on a regular basis. And even here Paul says, when we can even rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and that kind of hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts. See, again, it's these things that we see there's a process. And I don't know about you, sometimes I don't like the process, and sometimes I want to jump ahead. But we can see here from this writing of Paul is to be reminding us that there's a thing that we're working through. And so even in our suffering, as we're trying to figure out all these uncertainties, that we have to have hope, that we're people of hope. And so that's part of what I want to try to encourage us in that today, too. And then finally, we need to remember that the reward that we're going to get will last forever. I mean, whatever we're pushing through now, we're reminded that this life is just preparation for the life to come. The writer, again, Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says, "For our present troubles are quite small, and they won't last very long. Yet they are producing in us an eternal glory that will last forever and is greater than anything we can imagine." And so, I don't know about you, but I couldn't have even imagined this global pandemic in my own mind. It just doesn't fit. And I think for all of us, we're still struggling to try to understand, even as we think about when do things go back online and when can we go back to the restaurant. I even heard today, for example, Disney Corporation, as they're thinking about putting their amusement parks back online, they're talking about January of 2021. And even in doing that, the first day will be at 50% occupancy, and that it'll be a 6-month journey. And when you think about those kinds of things, they're just staggering to try to get your mind around. And then you think about your own journeys. And so that's the piece that our time of worship and looking at God's word needs to remind us. And so one of the things I want to jump into here, earlier today I had the opportunity to talk with my friend Adam McLean. And Adam was the one that sent me the message about trying to help a young person in Columbus that was working through some difficulties. But I just took that opportunity to reach out to Adam and say, tell me about a couple other things he's doing, because it's been amazing to see how he's been the kingdom, the hands and feet of Jesus there. And he's in Southern California, near San Diego, because of the beauty of this technology. And so just check out this conversation we had.
So I just thought it'd be kind of fun. We've been doing this neighboring thing. You know, you've modeled this so well. Just moments ago, you sent me a link, you know, a question about somebody in Columbus. And I just think in this season of the technology at a whole new level, you know, the world's a really small place.
Smaller.
Talk a little bit about what you've been doing there. And
yeah, so primarily, I live in San Diego, and I'm in charge of things for a mission organization down in Baja California. And we've been, we're well connected with a group of pastors down there and their pastor network. And so the situation is pretty basic in that, not basic, it's horrific in a lot of ways, but they have the exact same stay-at-home orders that we have here in San Diego, where basically everyone was ordered to not go to work and to stay home. But unlike in the United States, there really isn't a social safety net. And so that's really meant that families are being told to go home from work, but they're not getting unemployment or stimulus checks or any practical way to feed their families. And so they're suffering. And so, yeah, basically what we're doing is we're partnering with local churches in Ensenada that we already had relationships with to deliver food to those families that are in need. Even though they have a job, they're told they can't go to work. And so they don't have any way to feed their families. So we're kind of lifting up the local church because the church wants to do something. But of course, the church is in the same situation where they don't have any income either. So most churches in northern Mexico, the pastors are bivocational. So they might be an Uber driver or, you know, work at a factory and also be a pastor. So they don't have income either. So it's really hard for them to serve. So that's where we're coming alongside them.
That's really cool. And so like last week, I just think it's amazing how you just sort of make the plea known and then the world shows up, right? Sort of.
Yeah. Last week, I put out a video on Friday morning, just letting people know we were like $1,500 short. And like you said, the world showed up. It was really, really encouraging. You know, people were sending me money through our donation links, and we ended up raising about almost $3,000, which was great. What was kind of funny is that I had already decided we were going to spend more because pastors are asking me like, hey, I have another 25 families that I need to help. You know, what can you do? And I was like, personally, I was like, I'll just take the money out of my checking account and we'll do it in faith. So I'd already made that decision when I found out that we'd actually had raised money to meet those needs. But the same needs emerge. Last week we served 125 families. I have 139 families right now asking for assistance. And it's Friday again, and I got $2,600 to raise today, and here we are. We're in faith.
How do we make this sustainable? I mean, obviously you can't. I mean, I'm grateful that you're willing to lead and take the risk. But on the other hand, it's like, what does this look like, and how are you going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a stay-at-home order in Mexico is at least through May 30th. And so that need actually gets worse every week, right? So families, their savings is running out. And so, yeah, it's not sustainable, to be perfectly honest. That was a conversation I was just having with my wife. It was like, individual donations and $30 and $50, they're amazing. And it's incredible to watch what God is doing. But what we really need is churches to step up and to do special offerings or to do small foundations or different organizations. I'm reaching out to, you know, larger, big organizations that have millions of dollars that I'm just not getting anywhere, to be honest. And so I think hopefully the solution is the local churches that maybe have some funds available or willing to do a special offering, stepping up and doing that. And we'll see where we can go from there. I don't have big hopes that I'm going to find a foundation that's going to give me $1 million right now.
Right.
Maybe there's a few churches that could do a couple thousand here and there, and that would be the difference maker as we try to get to June 1st.
Right. And so you were saying, I think last week, and I'm going to guess the same today, what, $30 will feed a family?
Yep. Yeah. So it's about 30, a little over 30, 700 pesos. So the exchange rate is different all the time, but it's, it's about $30. And that's enough food to feed a family for about two weeks, give or take. Small business owner, I mean, we're in that same spot of saying, when are things going to resume? You know, I have friends that own restaurants and everything. And we're all in the same spot. And we have all this uncertainty. And yeah, and yet I believe fundamentally in the church. And so I want to see churches thrive. I've seen that over and over again, that when crisis hits, churches are the ones who respond. And it's an opportunity for the gospel. That's as simple as it gets.
And yet at the same time, the church will prevail, right?
Right.
The gates of hell will not, you know, come against it, but it's like in the midst of that, I've got to still live in it. So,
yeah, the gates of hell might not prevail, but it sure felt like we visited, you know.
Yeah,
I think we've all had those, you know, we've had moments of tears, you know, you're feeling so alone. And just feeling helpless and whatever. And it's good to come together and to, even in the midst of that pain, choose to worship, you know. And I think in many ways, it's been interesting to watch, like, what people are sharing right now is we're all going back to the basics, you know, of like the elemental things in our walk with Jesus. And that's been really cool to see. You know, it's a good reminder of, like, these are, you know, to kind of like paraphrase that old hymn. I mean, this is the solid rock we're standing on, you know, and, right. And it's never felt more solid, but also never felt like so much of a storm before. So,
right. No, that's a good analogy and a healthy tension. Good thing is Jesus sits on the throne and it's always the details, right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate your friendship and your time, and I leaning today. What's ahead for you beyond raising money today? What you got going on?
I'm here in the garden. You know, I'm doing a lot of things. You know, it's planting season here in San Diego, and so one of the little things we're doing to help with our actual community where I live, I'm on the board for our neighborhood community, and people are interested in gardening, and so I'm trying to make available myself and my expertise, but also like we're growing. I have like 2,000 seedlings right now of summer vegetables that I'm nurturing and selling off the, like, you know, I grew up in Northern Indiana where when you would drive around in the summer, you'd see all those little roadside stands,
right?
Which I adore. And I have the exact same thing happening in my urban neighborhood in San Diego where I have a table out front. It's an honor jar. I've only had, I guess, one plant disappear. But yeah, people are walking by or driving by or whatever and buying plants for their garden. And that's a cool way to serve them too.
It is.
Scout says hello.
Hey, Scout. And what a dog's life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard life to be a golden retriever.
Yeah. All right. Well, best to your family. And, okay, brother. Thank you for the time.
Okay. Hey, have a good day. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Bye.
So I hope Adam's conversation encouraged you. And I just love Adam's heart. I've known him for about 2 decades now. And I've watched him really lean into leading just as a neighbor and doing some amazing things. And so there's a partnership with a nonprofit called Praying Pelican that is the vehicle by which he's going into that part of Mexico. And I know the need is great here in our area. But I think I just want you to see the need's great everywhere. And we can choose where to make our investments. And I would just love to be able to invest a little bit in next week's grocery shopping that Adam does, just as a way to encourage him, and even more importantly, to encourage some people that we'll never get a chance to meet, but I know we could be an incredible gift to them. And so this week is Giving Tuesday, Global Giving Tuesday. And so on that day, I would love for us to hop on to our online portal, and you can find it on the giving link here on this page, or just go to lindenroad.church, and there's a giving link there. Or you can drop a check in the mail, or make a phone call, and we'll send somebody by to pick up your generosity as a way to just to continue to pay attention here, particularly to the needs of those around us. This is really what the Great Commandment's all about, is loving our neighbors well. And so I want to just challenge you in that. I want to also say thank you for those of you that continually invest in materially in this outpost. I'm just blown away by just the continued generosity that even in this season with uncertainty, it's been such an encouragement in so many different ways. And so I just want to say thank you for that. So living in the goodness of God and realizing that God is the God of the valleys we walk through, I want to go back to Psalm 23.
23rd Psalm.
This would be a Psalm of David.
Psalm of David.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
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 He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Of righteousness for his name's sake.
Leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil.
I fear no evil.
I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
For thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest the table before me.
Preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil.
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows.
My cup overflows.
My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
Mercy shall follow me.
Follow me all the days of my
life. All the days of my life.
That I should dwell in the house of the Lord.
The Lord forever.
In the house of the Lord forever.
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 So thanks for spending some time with us today. Let us know how we can be helpful. I'll leave a comment. Click on the chat button. You can send us an email at hello@lindenroad.church. But let us know how we can help you do what God's calling you to do. Or if it's just something you want to talk about, please reach out to us. So blessings on your week. As a famous pastor used to say, you've been blessed to be a blessing. Go serve Christ in his name. Amen.